No.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shot YouTube channel and the Over Smiling Faces podcast. Boys, look at that. Bang on time tonight. Who would have thought?
That has to be the first time ever, I think.
Well, I think we might have to play in bestie for the reason why we're normally late. This tends to be what happens when somebody is missing. We tend to blame them. Used to came with tons of abuse yesterday. Yeah, we just had a little dig at yous now and again. But less said about that, the better.
Hashtag be kind.
Hashtag be kind. Boys, how are you used to?
I'm fantastic, to be honest with you. I feel fat as butter. Yeah. Got tits like Jordan, but I'm all right.
No, and you, Mark?
Did you have a heavy meal?
Oh, mate, tons of them. Honestly, man, like even this morning, right from your breakfast, I went in the fridge and there were still loads of burgers and kebabs and that off yesterday. So I was just get them on there. It's just not good. Like,
so we are here tonight just to have a general chat. To be honest with you, yesterday me and Bestie were live watch along, and we done an instant reaction as well. Decker joined us very briefly for the instant reaction. Before we went live, Degger, how many cans did you have yesterday?
Oh,
you were slurring like mad.
Was I? I didn't think I was that drunk, to be honest.
Mate, really bad eye.
I think I had about, I definitely had 15 because the box was gone and I was only drinking them myself. But then I had some whiskey and I had some gin as well. So, yeah, I was rocking and rolling. Like, still managed to put my children to bed though. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. I put one in the bed in the shed, like. But yeah, no. To be honest, I was hoping yous were on. That when I called, I was hoping yous were on. I could join in, but if you say I was that bad, then maybe it's a good idea.
Mate, you are gone, absolutely gone. Not gonna lie. Did you have a good day yesterday, Mark?
I did. Yeah, it was nice to get back to having a bit of normality and spending times with friends in their actual company rather than seeing them virtually.
Yeah,
we'll hopefully have days like that soon.
Hopefully, mate. Hopefully. I don't think we're far off. I don't think we will be. Whether or not we'll go back to the pub is a whole new story, because I think the way things are going at the minute, it is pretty good doing these live things, but we'll see what is in store in the future, because things may change. Let's get down to the game. I'm assuming both of you watched that yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
A bit difficult if we didn't, like, wouldn't it?
It would be. I'm sure we could find something else to talk about, mate. Don't worry about that.
Line of duty.
Aye. At the start of the game, there was questions in regards to not necessarily the formation, but I think it was players playing in certain positions. Mealcraft playing centre back. I've seen a lot of things. Obviously, now that the dust has settled, and we did come out with a point, a lot of people saying why isn't Clark playing? I think I'm pretty sure yous will be in agreement with me here, but there must have been a reason why Clark wasn't playing. He must have picked up some sort of knock or some sort of injury prior to the game, which puts him on the bench. I'm not sure if yous have got any of that opinion, or if it's just Bruce being daft as usual.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because if you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to play some part in it, and we know he plays reasonably well in that back three. I guess with him bringing in Dummett, it would mean that Clark's going to have to play kind of out of position, either in the middle of the three or to the right of the three, which would, I guess, suit him. Whereas Kraft, with being that right-sided player, is more suited to playing on the right side, albeit not normally in a three. But yeah, a bit of an odd one. And where's Fernandez? What has happened to Fede?
Apparently he's picked up another knock in training as well, because we have seen photos of him the last couple of weeks back in training, haven't we? We've actually saw photos of him in training. I don't think there's anything to look into that, if I'm being honest. I think if we were going to nitpick at that, then Bruce knows he's the best centre-back. He has to. So if he was fit, he would 100% expect him to start. So I think that probably is just a niggling injury, probably. Decker, thoughts on it?
Well, the thoughts on Clark, would have played internationally, didn't he? Am I right in thinking?
Yeah.
And, I'm not saying he's maybe picked up a knock, but obviously Dummett hasn't played internationally. He's had that full time off. I was going to say maybe they've done some work on the training ground, which, but I'll not go down that route.
You weren't there, mate. I haven't been there.
So I was just thinking maybe he's think he's had more time with Dummett to be able to like set the team up the way that he wants. Mm. And as you've just mentioned there, I mean, of course, you would rather have Clark at centre half, but that would mean him playing the right side of Lascelles, which is just a disaster. So, you know, I kind of get it. I'll be honest with you, I had a lot of drink. I did see the team sheet and I thought, I was thrilled to see some of the changes that were there. Mm-hmm. However, I did struggle. I think I even messaged you, was going, where exactly is all this going to play? I was a little bit unsure if I would line up, but I was thrilled at the changes that I seen, though.
Yeah, so we're kind of back in that diamond formation, weren't we?
Sorry, yeah, what was that?
Go on, Mark.
The diamond. I was saying the players, when I kind of seen it, it looked like it gave you a bit of fluidity in the formation with like the personnel that you had there to be able to go. Because like when you look at it, you could have played four across the back and played a 4-4-2. You could have played three at the back, the five at the back, as we kind of ended up going with. So it was looking at that and thinking, well, you know, does it allow it to make some changes, which again, we don't normally see Bruce making changes during the game, so it's maybe a little bit of wishful thinking. And when you're looking at the formation there, but it does give you options having those players there in that starting 11.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark, which I haven't really thought too much into. But the clientele that was on the field, if you are going to make any form of in-game changes in relation to formation, then there's a lot of players there that can slot in certain positions. With Murphy and Richie being the two prime examples for that one.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. Push them forward into midfield, and then you've got your ready-made back four with Dummett going to left back and Kraft going to right back.
I think Sky as well, on the build-up, when Sky were doing the formation, they had three at the back. I mean, best we were watching that, straight away went, no, that's the 100% five at the back. You could just tell by the players there. I'm not sure what Sky formation they put on, but it definitely wasn't anything that how we were going to set up. But yeah, Degar, you mentioned that there's a couple of players that you were happy to see come back into the team. Which players were they?
I was thrilled to see Richie come back in. And I'm not just saying that in hindsight, because I know it's always sometimes, you know, easy to speak about it after the game when the person has played well. But like my dad was here and we're having a barbecue. My dad's favourite player is Richie. He just loves him, you know. And I was really happy to see him back in. I was thrilled that Hendrick wasn't on. Equally as pleased that I've seen Longstaff back in the team. It's been a long time coming, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And this one will shock you. I was thrilled to see Murphy in the team. Thrilled to see Murphy in, because every time I've seen him recently, listen, if he's a Premier League player, that's a different argument, right? But the one thing he'll give away is pace, energy, and I think we can all agree he can put a decent cross in the box. You know, he did that really well yesterday as well. So I was really happy with them three changes.
Decker, I think with Murphy as well, I think Murphy could have two attempts and completely fail at getting the box into the box, the ball into the box, but he'll try a third time. He'll try a fourth time. He'll try a fifth. He just doesn't stop. And credit to him, because there's a lot of players that in that sort of situation where they're not getting the best of games, they'll just stop and they won't want the ball. They'll go hiding. It's the opposite with Murphy.
It's surprising. Well, we've talked about this quite a bit, haven't we? That every time he's came on, he's made a difference. Certainly, I'll go back to the Aston Villa game when we drew 1-1. He came off the bench. Hit the bar, or the post, I think it was the bar, sorry. Then he set up Lascelles minutes later. And I thought, if anything's, you know, you've done something to deserve a start in the next game. Next game rocks around and he wasn't starting. And you really start to question then, like, what has a player got to do on the pitch to warrant getting a start in games to come? So I was really pleased. Just to go back on what Mark said, you were saying that you thought it could be a back four. Am I right in suggesting that you thought it would be Lascelles and Kraft and then Murphy?
It gave you with the players that were picked, it gave you that ability. If you needed to change the formation during the game, you could easily do it by pushing Murphy and Richie up into midfield and then having Kraft at right back and Dummett at left with Lascelles and
would just be exactly Lascelles.
With who?
What do you mean
there's
three?
No one else there. There isn't another centre half.
Who was
that's the point I was thinking. Well, that's why I got confused that when I texted you, I knew we couldn't be playing four at the back because I was like, well, we haven't gone to that. You know what I mean? And that's when I was starting to worry. However, again, on the formation, I'll just touch on. I mean, he said he wouldn't play five at the back again, and then went to the four, and then now we've went back to the five. I mean, it's just a bit all over the place. Now, having said all of that, what I've just said, but I've sat here and said to you both that I do think it's important to have a game plan game by game. That some games, if you're playing West Brom at home, you'll go four at the back. Other times where you might be a little bit worried about your opponent, you might go five at the back. And I still think if you go five at the back, you hope that Murphy and Richie will give you more going the other way. And I do feel yesterday in times that happened.
I think that's the reason that Murphy hasn't been getting his game, because the formation that we've been playing in recent weeks hasn't suited him. It hasn't lent itself to having wingers there, has it? Whereas by playing the three centre halves with your wing backs, and it means that they can do exactly as you've just said, Decker, push on and get that bit of width and get balls in the box. And hey, it definitely worked, because you know they were both the wide players were involved in the goals. There was many chances that came from both sides as well. So it's I don't know whether, like, having Murphy in that wing back role, whether you would necessarily play that against somebody that is where they are playing somebody on the left hand side, like their left hand side, that's going to get at you and really put you under pressure. Like, you know, having a winger coming at you, he's much better going forward, I guess, than having to worry about going backwards and defending too much.
I mean, the thing is, he has pace. But I also think he has a will to track back as well. I mean, let's just flip the argument here and look at St. Maximum. St. Maximum's got bags of pace, right? But he doesn't want to do the groundwork going backwards. And, you know, sometimes that you have to just hold your hands up and admit that's the type of player you are. Almiron, for example, is the opposite of that. Almiron will chase back for you and work hard. And I know Murphy might not be, you know, an out-and-out right-back here or a wing-back. However, I do think he works hard, though. You know, he fills back in where he can. And Dave, the comment at the bottom there that you put up, Chris, was spot on that. Every time he gets the ball, he looks to beat a man. And too many times when we've watched us recently, nobody's willing to do that. They just pass sideways or hit it long. No one's physically prepared to try and beat a man, which is it's refreshing to see someone try.
So I'll put the comment back up there. It wasn't the one from Dave, but there's another one from Daniel Van der Put there that says both Murphy and Richie need a run of games. I kind of agree with that to a certain extent, because now we've got 8 games left. And how many changes did we make going into the game at the weekend? 4, 5? There was quite a few. There was quite a few changes.
Gale was in,
wasn't
he, as well? Gale was in, wasn't
he? Yeah, once again, it's a change, a lot of changes in one single team. So we're coming into the arse end of the season now. And you look at these players, and they haven't had game time, far from it. So you want to try and keep the same core of players, I would say, for the final run of games. I fully agree with that. Of course, the exception on that one is Wilson coming back into the team. But I think now there's another question saying, how do you get the likes of Fraser and Saint in that team? Fraser, for me, you probably don't, if I'm being honest. Saint, you're looking at changing formation once again, or obviously sacrificing somebody. Like, it's hard. It is really hard. Bruce has got a very, very tough decision to make. But the reason why he's got that tough decision is because he doesn't know his best formation. He doesn't know his best team. So we're 8 games left now, and we're still in the position where we think who we're going to play this week, how we're going to do it.
I mean, I definitely agree. You go, Mark. Sorry.
Even though we had a front three, you cannot say that we would easily adapt that front three to take those players into it. Like, you cannot say bring Saint in and play him in, because you essentially would be asking him to play in that slightly to the left row where Almiron was playing behind the striker, and it's not where he does his good work. So I don't know. Do you drop Joe to bring him in and have Joe and Almiron in behind your striker of Wilson? I think the likelihood is once them three are fit, we'll revert back to that, the false nine with Miggy in the middle and Saint left and Wilson right, to get them into it. Otherwise, if you're going to stick with what you've got, then you've got to think it's Gale that's missing out to get Wilson in. And then, how, like you've just said, how do you get Saint into that team? Because the setup doesn't really suit him.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it before, but I think with Saint, you have to have him in that team. You do have to have him. We've picked up a point, right? Let's be honest. It wasn't a victory. It was a single point. So you need players like Saint in there that might push you that little bit more and that have that tiny bit of brilliance that will get you on the front foot and go and win a game. So no matter what, I think we're at the point where we're going to have to force Saint in somehow.
Well, that second goal, I mean, you know, there was a lot of good things happening in that goal, but St. Maximum did brilliantly well to sort of Cruyff two of them, give it out wide to Richie. You know, there's not many players could have done what Saint did in that moment. Also, you've just mentioned his name, and I'll come on to him now. I thought Joe Linton had his best game for us by a mile. Take his goal out of it as well. I mean, sometimes people score a goal and they can play poorly, but still people say they've played well because they've got a goal. I think even if you took his goal out of it, I thought he played really well. And it's quite weird that, I mean, if it's between him and Saint, you know who I'm choosing all day of the week, right?
Yeah.
It has to be, right? But I was pleased for Joe Linton yesterday. And also, speaking of the second goal, he played a massive hand in that one as well because his header back across was brilliant. So I was pleased for him as well. He took his goal very well and all.
Yeah, we said this during the game and on the live reaction. Me and Bestie, we said that there's probably a flip of a coin between Joe Linton and Richie, who got man of the match. For me, Joe Linton probably just would have nicked it because, like you said, Decker, grabs the first goal. It's a great strike as well. Tucks it perfectly in the corner with his right foot. And perfect. Obviously the second one, he heads.
He likes playing Tottenham, doesn't he, in the league? Eh?
He loves it. Absolutely loves it. He loves playing Tottenham. But yeah. I just felt, we've said this in the past with Joe Linton, though. We'll say he'll get his goal, then the performance will come after that. And will it? Is it really going to happen? Probably not. Probably not. But
probably not.
If you're looking at that game as a single entity, then he had a great game. He did.
He had chances before his first goal as well. He had that one where he had a very strong shot that he hit. I guess the shame was is he hit it more or less straight at the keeper early on in the first half.
He smashed it, mate. Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah. So he caught it well. And for all that, we kind of went 1-0 up. We had probably two or three good chances before that. Gale had a good chance.
Gale's was just an incredible chance.
Yeah, I mean that the one where the keeper the first one where the keeper saves it is hell of a save that from Lloris. Like how he keeps that out, he's at full stretch diving and then he gets lucky with the follow up because he kind of just sits on it. Gale just can't space it in.
That's where you have to credit Gale, you know, in terms of like other than Wilson, that's why he's so good, isn't he, Gale? I know he didn't score, but I mean the position he gets in, you know, Shelby's ball in was fabulous, by the way. But Gale just peels off that last defender so well, doesn't he, to find that space?
It's on the defender's shoulder every single time.
Yeah.
Hence why it works so well in the championship. And there was later on in the game where Almiron maybe puts a ball. No, is it one way or the other? Is it Gale that puts it in for Almiron? Almiron that puts it in for Gale. And the touch is so heavy.
It's Gale to Almiron. Yeah, it's really heavy. Yeah,
But once again, you're looking at those sort of players, Almiron, Gale, that. Or looking at getting as high up the field as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And it's something which you don't really get with Joe Linton. He seems to drop deep a lot of the time to come back for the ball because he's not touching it if he doesn't. But today, we saw the opposite.
That the front three linked up so well for that moment you're on about there. The ball went long and Joe Linton did amazingly well to hold it up. And he gave it to Gale, who then tried to play Almiron in. And it would have been the perfect... You know, the front three playing as a trio, if you like, properly. But it wasn't to be. But I thought, you know what it is, right? Other than Kraft, if I'm being honest with you, I thought everyone had a good game. I really did. I couldn't really see any. I thought Shelby played well. Surprisingly, I didn't think we missed Hayden. I thought we might have missed his bite in midfield, but I thought Longstaff brought that quite well. Loads of energy from him. Certainly for an hour. Loads of energy from working hard, good on the ball. His pass for Joe Linton, by the way, was brilliant. Joe Linton didn't have to break stride. It was just perfectly for him to run onto him. And I thought we fully deserved it.
You mentioned Decker, players coming back into the team. Another one was Sean Longstaff. And I'll come to you, Mark. It's a player that of course, his chips have been down when we've seen him the last few times. But we've still been desperate to see him because you've got the likes of Hendrick having his chances. You get Shelby playing week in, week out and underperforming. So we've said for God knows how long now, get one of the long staffs back in and see what he can do now. And he performed well. I don't want to get over the top on this one, but he did. He played well. He was looking at putting the ball forward, something which we don't normally see from the two lads in centre midfield, where they just normally pass it sideways or back. Longstaff actually looked like he wanted to get up the field.
Yeah, I think that was the main difference. He didn't set the world alight with his performance, but it wasn't kind of a performance we've seen for weeks and weeks in midfield. Like you say, he was positive. He was looking to play the ball forward and get us on the move. And I think that, again, helped with only having the two in midfield with having the wide players, because it looked to get one the front foot and play it into the front three and then get those wide ones like up and supporting them and stuff like that. But he just kept the ball moving, didn't he? My only kind of fear was having the two in the middle, because neither of them have got, you know, any kind of pace about them at all. And you worry looking at Shelvey and hit Longstaff to think, oh, we're going to get a little bit of overrun in midfield if they're going to hit when come through. But they didn't really do that, to be fair. I mean, let's make no bones about it. Tottenham weren't great, but... So did that make us look better than we did? Because I think we looked decent, probably in the grand scheme of the game. You think we definitely deserved a draw, probably did enough to win it with the chances that we had in comparison to Tottenham.
This is what annoys us a lot. I will stay with you, but then there's been a lot of people saying, yeah, but Spurs were shit. Like, you can only play the team that's in front of you. And how many times this season have we said, well, we were shit, that team won because we were shit? Yeah. But we're not a Spurs podcast at the end of the day. We're a Newcastle United podcast, so we're not here to sit and say Spurs are crap, this player was crap, that player was crap. We're done well, and the improvements were there to be seen, and they really were. Only last week we were saying there's no fight, there's absolutely nothing left in that team. They look drained, they look relegated. What we saw at the weekend is a polar opposite once again, which is what frustrates us the most, watching those players, because one week they look like they're up for it, and the next week it's like we're already in the Championship, we're already in League One, man, at one stage. And that's what annoys us the most.
100%. I mean, we've always kind of said after having poor displays that we need to see a reaction from the team and we need to see a reaction from the players, and up until the weekend, we haven't really seen it. Kind of coming off the back of a poor performance, we definitely seen that it on Sunday, because they definitely did go after the game. They worked hard for each other. You seen it when we were having chances, when we scored goals, they were all in there together celebrating and stuff like that. And for me, we mentioned him earlier on. Richie just epitomises that. Look, he's not the greatest footballer in that team, but what he brings into that side, for me, is just irreplaceable. He brings commitment, passion, drive. He's you know, having that it gives you an extra level kind of on the pitch. And when you see Joe's first goal score, like when you see the highlights kind of just with the noise from the pitch, all you can hear is Richie. He's just screaming at the top. He's like so happy about the goal. And he's like, when he's celebrating with it, he's screaming at them and, you know, slapping them on the back of the heads and stuff like that. He just gets it. And I think that is what you want in your team.
I think he makes players accountable on the field. He'll, for an error or for a lack of effort, he'll make players be accountable for what they're doing. And to touch on both of the players that come in, if you think of the first goal, Richie does brilliantly to charge them down, twice almost, charges them down. Yeah. And then Longstaff's the one picking the ball up on the edge of the box to play that pass. Now, the flip side of that argument is, let's say you didn't have Richie in the team and you had Hendrick in instead of Longstaff, that entire first goal doesn't happen. Because there's no way anyone would be as tenacious as what Richie was, and Hendrick would never be on the edge of the box looking to try and play a ball in. So... You know what I mean? Like, and the in answer to the real question, consistency has been a huge problem for all season, right? We might see a glimmer of a first half or a glimmer of a second half where we think, right, is this something we can build on? And we never do. And that's the concerning thing for me, is we never do. So, you know, fingers crossed that this might be... It's frustrating because you're playing a team there that's fifth in the league going for top four, right? In the final of the Carabao Cup. And then 2 weeks ago, you're playing Brighton, who are third bottom or fourth bottom or whatever, and you see such a polar opposite of performances. I guess it comes back to the argument of different individuals on the field, but still, it does frustrate us as fans, though, doesn't it, when you see so much shit performances against lesser opposition, and then when we play against a team that I thought we were going to get battered against, we actually turned up.
Yeah, no, you're right, mate. And like I said, it is really annoying as a fan base watching that. Obviously, what I'll mention is our WhatsApp group, where when obviously after our game, it went straight to Fulham Villa, and Fulham Mitrovic took the lead from a wayward pass, a loose ball. He just gets on the end of it.
Absolutely awful.
Gets on the end of it and puts them 1-0 up. And I think we've said this a couple of weeks ago. I said as soon as we hit that relegation zone, we're not getting back out of it. And I swear to God, when I realised that Fulham were winning, I thought, that's us done for. I really did think it was. But it wasn't the case. Obviously, Villa did go. What was their final score? 3-1?
3-1, yeah. 3-1.
3-1. Unbelievable. 3-1. Yeah, within like seconds, yeah. I felt as if Villa just took the lead.
Yeah,
but I hope from that game is that takes a little bit of the wind out of Fulham's sails, if I'm being honest with you. And I've got everything crossed for that, because if they had won that, then their confidence once again would have been sky high, and you would rather be in Fulham's position than ours, even with the game in hand. But I think on the flip side of that now, that result, both ours and the Fulham result, gives us that little bit more hope than what I did have on Friday night, let's say.
Southampton beating Burnley as well, that dragged them back down into it as well. That on Saturday, was it? Saturday, Sunday, Friday? One of the two, can't remember. So that keeps another team kind of in contention down the bottom there as well. Like, but it just feels weird sharing on Aston Villa, doesn't it? And hoping that you know, whoever Fulham's playing can beat them, because it's just awful having to rely on other teams to do your favours. And I mean, God, it just seems like Villa's having to do it all the time for us is beat who they're playing to do us a favour.
Yeah. It is shit to be in this position. To you know, a club like us, you would think, God almighty, surely we've got to be good enough to not rely on other people. But it's where we're at, right? It's the position we're in, and it is what it is. Other than the Brighton game, because I only had this opinion on the Brighton game, I have tried to say throughout that, in a relegation scrap, week by week, the emotions change. You know, like you'll have a week where you think that's it, we're dead and buried.
Yeah.
I think was it when we got beat off Villa, when the players were lying on the floor and had their head in the hands?
I mean, it would look like we'd be relegated then.
Yeah, and that was it feels a long time ago anyway. And then you've got like the flip side of us getting a draw there and Villa winning. All of a sudden, even I looked at the league table and thought, bloody hell, like 3 points clear with the game in hand, like. Even I felt more positive, and maybe next weekend we'll get beaten, then we'll win. I mean, we're relegated. It's going to be.
I think that's massive. I think this weekend is pivotal now. We need. I feel as if I'm saying this every single week, more, but I think we need to get all 3 points. We need to against Burnley, because after Burnley, we've got a horrendous run of games. We've got four or five games against the top six teams or something daft like that. It's absolutely lifting our fixture list after next Sunday.
Yeah, and like I've just said, them coming off the back of a defeat as well, that drags them back down. Whereas if we can, you know, get one out, because I think they're only 3 points ahead of us now, so would go kind of equal on points with them. But I don't know. It's like Dick has just said there, we seem to do it against the teams you don't expect to do it. But then you look at, you know, in weeks gone by, you look at your Sheffield United, West Brom, you know, Brighton, it's them games that you need to win, where we're seeing
we're 28 minutes in, and I'm going to say his name. This was the difference under Rafa. We're picking up those points against those teams around us. It's a complete opposite.
The mini league. Yeah. The mini league under Rafa, you always won that mini league. Mm-hmm. Always.
Complete opposite now. We're losing those games. Not even drawing them, we're losing those games.
No, you're right. And we've got a bit of a tough run in. I mean, I looked at, obviously Sky put it up quite a bit yesterday, and you know, having said that, I mean, you know, you've got Fulham, you've got Burnley, you've got Sheffield United. I mean, and I agree what Adrian's saying there. They took all them games there, you probably lose them all, right?
Yeah, well, so Adrian's put on the screen there. We've got West Ham, Leicester, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal. That's all after Burnley.
So to me, and we've said this from, this is why we wanted him sacked, by the way. We said we had Burnley, Sheffield United and Fulham. them are the there's 9 points there. Fulham are not getting 9 points. Let's just get that clear. So I think if you win two of them, you're safe.
That's getting clipped.
Honestly, I don't want to clip it. But they're not getting 9 points. And I think if we could get two wins there, plus we've already 3 points ahead, remember? Like, well, I know they got a bit of goal difference, but even that got a bit of a kick yesterday. You know, I think we'll be all right, you know. I do. I think we'll be all right. But I agree with what Chris said there, that this weekend against Burnley, I'm going to say it like it feels like a must win.
Who do Fulham have? I'm not sure who Fulham have. Somebody will tell us in the comments.
I know they've got hard games, haven't they? I think
they've got Wolves at home next.
Wolves. All right, okay. Wolves are playing at the minute as well, aren't they?
Then they've got Arsenal, Chelsea, but then they've got Burnley, Southampton.
Yeah.
So them have also got, and then they've got us, of course, on the final game. So them have, in their minds, them will have three games that them believe them can get 9 points from.
This is why Sunday is huge for us. Absolutely huge. Yeah. Because
it would put some daylight, right, wouldn't it, if we could win? You know, it would just stretch it a bit.
Because if we pick that 3 points up, then Fulham go and win their next game, then we're still in the same position. We're still three points ahead of them with the game in hand. We need to keep that all the way through because we just saw the level on points there and it drops us in the relegation zone. And our goal difference, I think there's a 5-goal difference between ourselves and Fulham. It's probably less now, to be fair, because it got beat.
I think it's three now. I think, because of the three goals. But still three, you know.
It's a extra point, isn't it, with goal difference. And I don't want to be in a position where going into that game against Fulham needing anything from that game. I want to be going into that game safe as houses.
Well, in fairness, I mean, half an hour to go, we were in the relegation zone because of that goal difference. You know, it does prove how important it is. Like, and it's going to be nip tuck all the way, isn't it? It just is. I mean, I agree with what Mark said about Burnley getting dragged back in. Who knows, if we beat them at the weekend, that's another result that they've, you know, all of a sudden Burnley might start falling. But we have to just do our business, don't we? We have to do what we have to do. And I think a big part of that is getting Wilson back on the pitch, but also keeping Richie in the team. To be honest, the three people that came in, stick with them players. I think it Callum put in there about Longstaff looking tired? Was it?
Legs. Yeah, said that his legs were obviously
going. He did, didn't he? But he's going away. He hasn't played in so long, so you know.
Yeah, but that's fair enough. Of course it is. But you don't want to see Hendrick getting another chance at starting a game. You definitely don't, because how many chances are we going to give him? He's not a very good footballer to have in this team. Far from it. If we're desperate for goals and we need to get up the field, he's not even making the bench for me.
No, but it's a shame Sorry, Mark, you go, mate.
I was just going to say it's a shame because when he came in, you thought, you know, this is somebody that can actually do a little bit of difference for us. He was an international player. He'd been linked with some big teams and stuff like that. And then he's obviously his first game that he came in and he scored and he looked a player. And then it's just gone steadily downhill for him. And, you know, bar a few moments in games and a couple of performances, it's just been turgid for the majority of the time. But look, so has it been for a lot of players. But I'm disappointed because I expected more from him, kind of with maybe the reputation that he came with. But I think that... The Burnley game, as you've just said, is massive, that one. And I think the West Ham one, that we've probably got a bit more of a chance in that one because Declan Rice is now going to be out for a little bit and he's a player that makes West Ham tick massively.
I mean, I'm not sure that tonight, like, they're absolutely ran wild tonight. Ran wild. Got 3-0 in the first half.
Yeah, against Wolves away as well.
Lingard was... unbelievable as well.
He's the worry, isn't he?
I hate to say it, but they're a great side. Like, I mean, Moyes has got them playing. Bloody Moyes, man. Christ's sake. But he's got them playing.
We smashed some sense into them, didn't we?
It's No, I agree. I think Burnley's a huge one. And, you know, back to Hendrick there, I think in the modern game, certainly in centre midfield, you kind of carry players that are not willing to run around, right? And what I'm going to say here, because I know you'll be thinking it, Shelby, let's be fair, right? Shelby doesn't move much, right? But, like, yes, it is performance of Shelby, right? He still gives the same effort, you know? But you have to admit, I thought he kept the ball moving really well, I felt, yesterday. He wasn't necessarily looking for too many Hollywood balls. He was just playing it simple. But he was keeping the play moving. Hendrick can't even do that. Hendrick, I personally feel quite safe when Shelby's got the ball. If Shelby gets it, I'm like, oh, it's not too bad. You know what I mean? Whereas if Hendrick gets it, I'm like, fuck, I'll get rid of it. Like, I just panic straight away. Whereas when Shelby gets it, I do feel like a bit more, he's a bit composed on the ball. But his lack of effort and he's running around is very similar to Hendrick's. And a team like us cannot carry that, man. We cannot carry, not two of them, we cannot carry Shelby and Hendrick not running around. You know what I mean? Wouldn't our teams just flow through? But, you know. Here's what it is.
So people who are watching tonight, if you do want to hoist some questions, that was like proper like Jody, that one, hoist some questions our way. We'll certainly go through as many as we possibly can.
What did you think of
Dubravka's questions
performance overall?
Dubravka. So during the game I was harsh on the second one, on Kane's, but then looking back at it, Kane takes that so well. Like, so, so well. He literally smashes that on the deck. Dubravka, I don't think you can get down any faster unless you dive before Kane's even hit the ball. Other than that, he didn't really have much to do, did he?
I would agree with Chris on that point. He had no chance on the goal. I mean, it was just what it was. But I thought his distribution was dreadful and he couldn't command his area at all. Like,
That's uncommon as well for Dubravka because he's normally really good at that command in his area. He came out once and he proper slapped at the ball. I remember that.
It was a couple of corners where he came out and tried to punch that.
Yeah, he came out.
That's
punch
why I
and
asked
he just,
the question.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree.
There was just occasions for me where he just, and you've just summed it up perfectly there, Chris, where he just didn't command his area where he's normally very good at it. So it just worried us a little bit that he just didn't seem to have that confidence in his own performance of being able to shout, because there was a couple of times where you expect him to maybe, whether I don't know whether it's him shouting for it for a defender to leave it or not, and the defender's leaving it, but there just seemed to be a little bit of a lack of communication at the back, that dominance of his penalty areas from corners and balls into the box, like high, where you'd expect him to come out and either catch them or really put his fist through it and get them clear, where he didn't connect with it properly and stuff like that. Even the one from where Miggy had to clear it off the line, he came out and kind of tried to get that and obviously was beaten by the I can't remember which player it was, the Spurs player who then obviously gets it in and Miggy headers it off the line, but there was just a couple of occasions like that where you can do it. On
a comment there from Michael Mark that says, do you think it's a confidence thing with Dubravka? Or is he still a bit rusty? We've got to remember that he has had a lot of time out on the sidelines. So it might be a case of that, but there's some of them
he's
where
he's been
a few
games now though, hasn't he?
You think no matter how long he's been out, he should still be coming out and collecting the ball, because that's what, if I think of Dubravka, that's what I know him for, dominating that 6-yard box.
I would say it's confidence a little bit, because I don't want to bash him here, but the first game he came back, he made a howler, right? Mm-hmm. Well, some people don't think it was, but I do, right?
He got chucked under the bus his first game back, didn't he, Bruce?
Yeah, it was a poor, it was poor, right? And he hasn't really done much in games to think like, you know, we haven't been on here going, God almighty, thank God he was in goal. The Brighton game, people were criticising him against Brighton for certainly the first goal, he didn't even dive.
Well, I think the first game he had that clanger, but then I think not long after it, there was an unbelievable save about 10 minutes afterwards. That's what you get with the backer, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I still think that just hit him, but that's just my opinion. I didn't think he saved it necessarily. He was just there and it just hit him. But anyway, but maybe it's a bit of both. But what the one thing that you would like to see from him, right, or from any goalkeeper, not just Dubravka, is just to be stronger. You know, like when he comes out for the ball, really come out for the ball. It seems like to me he's waiting for contact. He comes up and he's just waiting for it. We got one free kick given forward, actually. It was never a foul. And he fell over, and I was like, whoa, you need to be stronger there, because next time that might not be given. But listen, I mean, he hasn't done enough to not warrant his position. He still stays in goal, we'll carry on. But I agree with Mark. I do agree with Mark that he hasn't exactly been great since he's come back, in fairness.
Yeah. Next one up is from Matthew West. He says, since we are meant to have no money to spend next season, would you take Townsend back on a free? I'll start with this one. And I say no, because I think winger-wise, I think we've got more than enough wingers. I think it's one position where we do have plenty of options. So for me, Townsend, probably not. Digger?
Yes, if the numbers stayed, well...
Are we in the Championship at this point or win the Premier League?
No, Premier League. Do you know what it is, right? I don't know, because that right-hand side for me, I still don't really... I see Saint and Fraser as a left winger. You know, the inside forward
Murphy's
coming
probably
inside.
Your right winger.
Inverted winger. Murphy, yes, I'll give you that one. Almiron, we don't want to see out there. I know when we have the front three fit, we normally play Wilson out there as this kind of weird false nine, whatever the hell it is. I'm not really a fan of that, but if it works, great. But Townsend would fit right wing, right? Period.
He's a right winger. Yeah.
So, you know, on a free, wages obviously could be an issue. I don't think I'd say no to it, like, because the thought of Saint one side, Townsend the other, and Wilson does give us a hard on. Like,
if you had to sacrifice one of your wingers, though, who are you sacrificing?
It ain't Saint. So
that's what I mean.
The thing is Fraser, then, we haven't got any right wingers other than Murphy? And potentially Richie. You know who
saw Joe Lennon on the right hand side a couple of times as well, haven't we?
Yeah, Joe plays out there. That's where Townsend's more natural, isn't he? That's where he's playing.
You know? Yeah.
It's you come back to that discussion point that we just had earlier of how would you get him into the team? Because you would have to change and you'd have to play a completely different formation.
Oh, you're playing 4-4-2 to get two wingers in.
You have to play a four in midfield to get Saint out on the left and get Townsend out on the right.
Well, not really. You could play a front three. You could play 4-2-3-1. You know what I mean? Or what? You know, you could play.
Yeah, but
my dream moving forward as a team. I'm not saying we're going to do this next season, but I'd love to see we play four front right, in the sense of Almiron is the 10, Saint left. Let's just hoy him in there. Townsend right and Wilson up front, and then two holding midfielders to allow them four to fuck off and do what they want. Your holding midfielders need to be better than Shelby, by the way. But I'm on about two holding midfielders that just sit there and protect. And allow your two wingers and Almiron to cause loads of trouble.
I think in that situation, though, you need two very good holding midfielders.
Yeah, I agree.
The teams that play that are the likes of Liverpool, who play that, you know, the three very high players in Salah, Firmino, and the other one whose name I can't think of his name there. So... In order to play a three like that, then yes, it would be fantastic. But like Chris has just said, you then need your midfield just to sit there and be solid, and you need to have a very good defence.
But then you look at yesterday's performance, and I know it's only one game, it's a small sample size. We only had two centre midfielders, and that was Longstaff and Shelby. And I felt that they did quite well in regards to, because I thought they'd be overrun. I did when I seen it on paper. I was like, oh, Jesus. And they're doing well. So, you know, I'm saying it's impossible, but sometimes I just feel like that's been our dream, though, right? Even this season, Fraser, Almiron, Saint, Wilson. It's what we've all wanted to see, because I feel sometimes in certain games, you need to be putting the onus on the opposition to think about you and think, fucking hell, these four kill if we go forward. Do you know what I mean? Rather than thinking about them, how can them hurt we? Just maybe thinking out loud.
There's a great question here, but by Daryl. I will move on. With Daryl, he's been mentioned quite a bit. Not Daryl, Lejeune. a lot of talk about Lejeune because he did pick up a player this season. For where is he? I can't remember where he is.
What they called him?
Alves.
That's the one. He's just picked up player this season there. I think we've all been. I think there's no argument with this one. I think we've all been in agreement that Lejeune was probably our favourite centre back. I might be wrong here, but I love Lejeune. Me,
it's a no brainer. He absolutely has to come back. I think sending him out on loan for a season, getting him into a league that is a little bit slower, a little bit more technical, just brings out the best of him. Get him away. Get him to ease back into the game. Get him his confidence back. Get his fitness back. It's whether he wants to come back. That's
so
another
Mark,
question.
What you're saying there does seem logical. It does. But apparently the reason why Bruce let him go was because Bruce doesn't fancy him. Bruce doesn't think he's that good of a defender. So Bruce didn't send him away to get game time. Apparently Bruce sent him away because he just didn't rate him.
But that's because Bruce is a bloody, is an old fashioned, you don't get a face like Steve Bruce being a ball playing centre half. He is the one there where he sticks his head in, you know, in where it matters and clattering people. Lejeune isn't that type of player. He's classy. Steve Bruce wouldn't have liked Coloccini because he could play ball. Yes, he was, you know, would have dished out the rough stuff as well, but he was a very good ball playing centre back. It's a no-brainer. Lejeune is the best central defender that we have at the club, and it's criminal that he's not there. But I think it's worked out very, very well for him to go there and get it in. And you cannot look at his performances and think he's a crap player. So it just goes to show you, Steve Bruce hasn't got a clue.
I'll come to you, Degger. It's probably worked in Lejeune's favour quite a lot, because you could probably imagine other teams looking at him thinking, what might fancy a bit of that?
I'm a big fan of his, and I said this before, certainly some of the best football that we played as a team was when we had three centre-halves and we had Shea, the right-hand side of Lascelles, and Lejeune, the left-hand side of him.
Yeah,
we were causing real trouble because both of them could play football, right? They were both nice.
Shaw and Lejeune used to go on adventures, left, right, and centre.
And the amount of times we used to cross-field, you know, Shea to one side and Lejeune to the other, all the rest of it. My only concern with Lejeune is the speed of our league. And Mark made a good point that he's went to a different league that's a slower league for him, etc., etc. I would definitely take him back, 100%. Of course I would. I wouldn't say sell him, but I'd be interested to see how he fares in the Premier League. After the injuries he's had, he was not really the quickest in the first place, but his talent and quality, you can't knock that. No way. Mm.
Yeah,
his positioning gets him out of trouble of not necessarily needing that pace, because if you can read the game better, you can understand the positions you need to be, and then you can get away without, you know, needing to rush back. But
I'll take you back to Watford at home, mate. Watford at home when we got beat 3-0, Cleverley scored, and was it Cleverley? Maybe Leicester. And he really had a shocker, big time.
Was that twice? Was it his fault?
Twice. And it was just lack of speed, you know what I mean? But I do give you that, no question that he's got talent, right? Mm. And I love how he's calm on the ball. That's why I love Shea. Darrell's mentioned another question there about, do you think we'll extend Shea's contract too? I mean, I would.
I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer with Fabian Shea.
Take us back to the Man City quarter final. I would say no. I was so pissed off with that game.
So it's like he wasn't even playing for that day.
Yeah, there was something going on there. But yes, I would. I mean, Shea, I thought, played actually very well until he got injured. He's another one, though. He's brave on the ball, man. Isn't he? Brave on the ball. He'll dish it out every now and again. He's not scared. But I love how he carries the ball out of defence. Some of that I wish Lascelles could do. Because Lascelles, you know, let's say something here. Listen, he might be a good leader and all the rest of it, right? But isn't it unreal that a professional footballer, to be at the level he's at, is so uncomfortable on the ball? It's literally like a foreign object to him. Yeah. Like, it's just unreal how you can be so poor on the ball, I think. Like,
polar opposites, isn't it? Could look at Lascelles, and probably the closest one to Lascelles in regards to that old school centre back is probably Fernandez. And even Fernandez offers a lot more than what Lascelles does.
Those two. I'm comfortable controlling the ball. As soon as the ball's going towards Lascelles, I'm just shivering with doubt. And he looks just so clumsy on the ball.
He doesn't want the ball, definitely. All day. If he's going up for a header, I'm picking him all day.
Are you all right? Yeah, you're okay.
All day long. But if it's at his feet, I don't want him anywhere near it.
Yeah, you're right, huh?
Well, when you look at Kane's first goal, I watched Lascelles, and I've got to point your finger at Lascelles for that first goal, because he basically gets sucked out from his position. He comes out towards the ball when there's absolutely no need to, because he's nowhere near the player or the ball. He comes out to try and close it down, and then realizes he isn't going to get there, but then tries to get back. But by this point, he's left Kane completely unmarked, who's in behind him. And then the ball goes out and goes across into the middle towards Kane. And then we know Kraft comes across trying to get a block on, and then it hits off his heel, falls at Kane's feet.
I agree with you there. No, yeah, I agree with you. And just to mention Kraft there, I mean, I actually credit him for getting where he got to, because he did cover for Lascelles really well. You know, he covered. But crikey, when you get there, let's just kick it in the stand. Let's just get rid of it. What was he actually trying there? Like, it's
so a lot of people said that you might have actually got a shout from Dubravka at the last minute. Could have been the case, but either way, even if you're getting a shout from the keeper there,
you deal with it, right?
Yeah, Dummett smashes that. I'll tell you, if Dummett's anywhere near that, he's launching that.
Yeah, it's a way, and you regroup and you take your medicine and get on with it. But like, it was just stupid, wasn't it? It was stupid.
You're far better conceding a corner than a goal.
100%.
So just smash it out. But that goal for me doesn't happen if Lascelles just holds his ground. There was no need for him to go out towards that ball. And it's that, like you've just said, his decision making, or when the ball is on the ground in front of him, where he just makes me very, very unsure.
I'll give you that one.
And it's, I don't know, that would be, you know, if you look at all of the defenders we've got at the club, and look, we've had this discussion many, many times, that Lascelles would be bottom of our list. But then he comes into the team, he does a few things, you know, well, and he's like, all of a sudden, he's like, God, you've got to have him in your team. But I don't know, he just doesn't fill us with masses of confidence.
I'd run out Fernandez.
I think the thing with Lascelles is we do this so many times. We'll sit here and we won't slay him. But we won't. We'll say that he's not good enough. Okay, and it ends there. But then when he's not in the team, it seems like the defense get worse.
Well, this is the thing I will say about him is I do think he can organize. Mm-hmm. He perhaps is very vocal along the back line, which you would expect a captain to be, or not just a captain, just a centre half. But for me, eight times out of ten, like when I see a goal conceded, I do normally point the finger at him. Either he hasn't tracked the man, or he's maybe came out of position, or he's been poor in possession. And for me, we've had this debate about centre halves for a long time. But if we're playing a four or whatever, I'd probably rather have Fernandez and Clark if it was a four. I think Fernandez is by far a better player than Lascelles.
100%. I've always been a big fan of Fernandez. I really have. Yeah. I think he is very underrated as well in the Premier League. I think he's a great player, absolutely fantastic. We've got to steal with him as well. He is a good player.
This little chat has just reminded us of something that I'd forgotten about until then. What did you make of the new centre half we had playing for the last 10 minutes?
Shelvey. Playing at centre back, what was all that about? Yeah. I swear to God, when I looked at the screen, I thought, Shelvey's playing centre back. Yeah, I shit a brick.
Yeah.
Because if anybody's giving away a penalty playing centre back,
it was mad, wasn't it?
It's him.
He almost went, I don't know, it was, I guess, more of like a kind of a sweeper role, wasn't it? But it was just, and it's weird because he didn't do too badly. But I guess
he was okay.
He wasn't getting massively tested, but anything that was coming that way, he was sweeping up. But it did fill us with a bit of trepidation that, Christ, if somebody runs at him or we're getting an attack coming into there, then God help us.
You know, it's funny about the end of the game. Sorry, I'm going to go back for one second. Is you think Almiron's header off the line, which was obviously vital, but when Kane hit the post as well, you know, if you think of them two moments in the game very, very late on, well, before we equalised, the game could have been dead and buried. And it would have been incredibly harsh.
I can't even remember Kane hitting the post.
All right, that was near the end. He cut inside. Dubravka was just beating all ends up. And he hit the post. He should have scored, I thought, to be honest.
Joe could have scored just before. Yeah. We got one where it comes across to the
cross. He does everything right.
He does well to get it down because it's at an awkward height to pull it down, but he just snatches at it, doesn't he?
It's a talented striker just puts a bit of curl on that and just curls it around the keeper. But it's George just snatches, doesn't he? He just hits it, just absolutely hits it and thinks, I hope I'm chasing the goal.
Yeah. But we had some good chances. Miggy had one from the kickoff in the second half where he tried to bend it around into the left corner around the keeper as well.
I think that was right after half time, and we started the second half really brightly, I thought, as well.
Pretty much from kickoff.
I think we had 22 shots at goal. I think it was arguably the highest we've had all season. And
this is what we've been looking for, though, Degger. We've said so many times that we're not getting the chances. And that game against Spurs, once again, we can sit here and say Spurs weren't very good. They did look ropey at the back, but we were there to take those chances. Of course, we didn't win the game. We know that. We know it's still only two. Was it two wins in 21? We're not putting the likes of these players and that result on some sort of pedestal. Definitely not. But I said this to Bestie, and it is something which Bestie does say quite a lot. He's done it numerous times over the last few weeks. Is Yes, it was a good performance, and we did get a point at the end of the day. But now it's clinical to see what we do against Burnley, because you need to carry that over. Because if you don't get anything against Burnley, then it's just another one we think, oh, we've got a point, it's not good enough.
Yeah, well, Besty made that point, didn't he, before, when we had a string of draws. And he said, you know, if you win, it makes them draws look good or be good draws. And something else, you made a good point there, is that, like, it's sometimes difficult for us because, you know, we've come on the night to talk about that particular game. Mm-hmm. And I think some people that may not watch regularly or whatever may come on and watch and think, bloody hell, like, do they realise they haven't won in 20 games? Like, we are only talking in this isolation of 90 minutes, what we've seen. Like, we know the bigger picture, how shit it is. Christ, we'll be on here every week, talking about it. But in that 90 minutes...
Sometimes twice a week, mate.
Well, exactly right. Sometimes twice. We know that it's not good enough. We know that Bruce needs to go. We know Ashley's an arsehole. We know all of that. But judging on what that 90 minutes was, does that give me more confidence that we'll get out of it and stay up? It does, actually. It does.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, it leads us nicely onto this question, Digger. So I'll come straight back to you.
Gives you a bit of hope.
So David Marsh has said, as things stand, do you think we will stay up? It's a question which would normally end the podcast on, but we'll go through it now before we end it. Stay with you, Digger.
I do. Yes, I do. And, you know, in fairness, it wasn't necessarily... it wasn't just our performance and our result. It had a hell of a lot to do with the Villa game.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Villa. I just feel that that's got to be crushing for them Fulham players, you know, to be leading the game quite late on, really, in fairness. It was the second half, to then completely crumble. It tells us two things. One is that the players aren't actually that good, and Fulham are where they are because of what they are, right? And our performance, in fairness, was quite good. And we've hopefully got Wilson coming back. Saint obviously got minutes on Sunday. So, you know, I just feel that it's in our favour. That's how I feel.
Mark?
Just.
I thought you were going to go on these accumulating points thing.
I know. thought he was going to go off on one again there.
It is accumulating points because you look at, like, just look at the last
don't
five.
Don't say those words, man. Jesus.
But... you think, like, what you've just been saying there about Decker, about where all of these draws, we've had, like, what, four draws in the last five games? And those draws are looking good because Fulham have lost four of their last five games. Whereas, you know, had those results have been different and they'd have got draws or wins, then the draws wouldn't have been enough. But, you know, it's what Steve's saying is we've just got to keep picking up points, and picking up a point every week is better than picking up none. And as long as Fulham don't pick up points, and we
Steve,
do.
Did you say that?
Steve.
As in Bruce, you meant. Oh, as in Bruce. Steve Bruce. Just the way you said it there. Me and Steve. Okay.
So I think just, we'll just stay up.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? But I think it goes back. We could sit and answer this question now. And now I think we probably will say the same as Mark, that we'll probably just scrape by. But like I said previously, I don't want to be going into that Fulham game needing anything. Definitely not. Because we won't get anything. If we need something, we definitely won't get it. But you could ask that same question at 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and there could be a completely different answer.
I just look at the games that we've got, and like we've just said, we've got Burnley and West Ham in the next two games. You'd hope we'd pick something up from those, and then we're going to struggle.
I think you're misjudging this West Ham game, mate. I really think you're misjudging West Ham as a team.
3-2 now, West Ham game.
Yeah, but
West Ham are a good team.
They're going for top four.
Aye, but West Ham aren't having the best of... Yeah, they might have been playing well tonight, but they haven't been playing that well in the last couple of weeks. They've lost...
I think he's... you've been looking at some kind of old Premier League years or something.
Last five games, they've lost 2, won 2, and drawn 1.
Oh, better than our form, then.
So they've won 2.
Well, it is, but I don't know. With the injuries, look at the way that we played against them.
West Ham are going to absolutely annihilate us, I'm telling you now.
You said that was going to happen yesterday.
Yeah, I did say 3-0. Like.
So, look, you never know.
Mate, at the moment, West Ham are fourth, the top four.
Aye, but look, there's no doubt, and they've had a very, very good season.
Very good season, mate.
But you know, in recent form, there's reasons to be hopeful in those ones. But then after that, as I say, you've got Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Leicester. Them games, you're going to massively struggle. That's what I was just saying before, Keegan. You know, Rice being out is a boost for us. Lingard is the worry. He's massively turned them around since he went there in January. That's where their runners came from. It's since he's gone there, they've really taken off. And then your last two games you go in against, you've got Sheffield United at home and then Fulham away. So that's the four games that I'm looking at thinking you've got to pick points up from those four. And then anything in the other four games in between is a bonus.
I would much rather be playing Spurs again or Arsenal than West Ham, if I'm being honest with you.
I suppose Arsenal aren't any great shakes at the minute.
They're poor, they're a poor side then,
So I just want to read that one that Daryl's put on. Lads, did you hear? There isn't a mole. So Stay Bruce's game out after a game, and somebody met, I don't know how it came about, but Bruce was saying that there isn't a mole, and he's not quite sure where this is all came from. Bruce, it came from you,
Steve. You were the one
that said there was somebody leaking information out to the press, etc., etc., and you were going to find the culprit, I think his words were. Now, there's never been a mole. What's going on with that bloke, man? Like, what is going on?
He says so much shite, he forgets what he said. He literally does. As you spot on, you know, he said there was a mole, and now there never has been, and everything's fine, and everyone loves each other. And they have gangbangs all the time. Like, it's just like you literally came out and said there was a mole. Like, so why now come out and say it? Just why even come out and say it anyway, though? You know, I mean, just come on, talk about the performance, talk about what you're going to be working on for next week. Every time we get a point or we play decent, he seems to want to come on and like throw it down people's faces, doesn't he? Like, you all said I'm rubbish and everyone's being kicked off about performances. It's just immediately on the back foot trying to have a go at people. And that's why. No one likes him.
He's very, very defensive, really is. You can't say anything to Steve Bruce. He's at the point where he's had a go at all of us. He's had a go at the fans. He's had a go at the media, Craig Hope. Like it's just said on the screen, he's still banned. Now Steve Bruce is arguing with himself, basically. Is there anybody left in the Northeast that Steve Bruce can argue with? His son?
Maybe
Luke Edwards.
but I mean, it's
that whole series of events was just weird, wasn't it? He was asked the question around, you know, the reaction from the players and the spirit that they showed. So it was like, you know, it was his opportunity to almost praise them for the spirit that they had and the fight that they had, and he went on the attack. He attacked the supporters, he attacked the media through his comments. After he interrupted, as I might add, again, halfway through the question, and basically just slagged off. Well, people are questioning our attitude, our behaviour, questioning the mole and stuff like that. And it's like, Steve, you couldn't get this question any wronger? Is that even a word?
Any wronger? I don't think wronger is a word.
Any more wrong than you have? It's just bizarre behavior from him, isn't it?
That was that's all those trips to Turkey. You know, when you used to get the fake Newcastle shirts instead of Wonga, they had Wronga on them.
Wronga.
It just sums him up, though, doesn't it? You know, that he can.
It does.
And I think that's, you've hit the nail on the head there, Dekari. He spouts so much crap, he just doesn't know what he said and when he said it, or whether it's a quote that he's read or what.
So John Gandhi puts an absolutely fantastic comment here saying, there's no mole, just like there wasn't a home fixture against Palace.
It's funny, you know, I actually had that in my mind there about the Palace game, just forgot about that happened as well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable, isn't it, really? But it's something that we've been, you know, us as fans have been noticing and saying for a very long time, you know, very, very long time. And pundits and everyone else seems to not see it. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe the knives have turned a little bit, perhaps, but there's still a great proportion of people out there think. I mean, the other thing that I kind of stand them saying, by the way, is experience. When he keeps saying, well, I've got experience, I've managed 300, whatever, 1,000 games, I don't know how many it is. But yes, maybe you have, but you've been shit constantly. So how can you say, I lean on my experience? Your experience
It's not a feather in your cap, is it?
It's not an achievement. It's not an achievement to have lots of experience of fighting relegation battles.
Yeah. And losing them, though. I don't think he's like the every time he's been in one, he tends to lose it, right? So it's another ridiculous comment to make. For me, you know, what I was speaking to someone, I don't know who I was speaking to, but I feel if he kept what up, right, they would stay up and then he left. Like,
yeah, he has to go. He has to.
I know he has to go, but he's only going to go if he gets sacked. But let's be fair. But the only way he could leave with any kind of dignity, right? The fans would still hate him, but would go, well, at least he's left. Like, he keeps it up and then he moves on. Yeah. Right. Fuck off. Thanks very much. Ta-ra. Like, do you know what I mean? But he won't do that. And I feel that's the only ounce of dignity he could get from anybody is to do that if we stay up.
That's the dream scenario at the minute, isn't it?
That isn't it? Of course it is.
All we can hope for is just get we're over the line, get we're safe, and then piss off.
I think the way that we say that as well, I think that we'll have to understand that that's going to be best for both parties. It's going to be best for Newcastle United and its fan base, and it's going to be best for Steve Bruce, because I don't want him to experience what it'll be like in St. James's Park when fans are back. I really don't, because it wouldn't be a nice situation to be in for any human being. It really wouldn't be. So I don't want him to be there for his own safety.
I
want to
experience it. I can't experience
you would.
It.
The main reason why I don't is because we'll be 19th. Come December or January, we'll be, you know what I mean? Like, if he stays here, it's going to be worse next season. It will be. It just will be.
He can't stay.
Well, he's still got a year left on his contract anyway, so he might still be here next year, like we said. But there was, unless
there was
he goes.
Comments around him getting extended, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he threw me phone out the window when I seen that one.
So this is what happens with... Well, this is what happens with Mike Ashley. Mike Ashley awards failure. So... For Steve Bruce, somebody who was touting top 10 finish, this is where we wanted to be, to give him a new contract for just surviving by the skin of your teeth. That's not great. It's really not.
It's not like... And if you think we haven't got any money to spend in the summer, apparently, right? There's nothing there for whatever reason. If we're not able to invest and bring new players in, oh, Christ almighty. I mean, we'll be very, very lucky to stay up next season. We'll be lucky to stay up this season, but we are only going to go backwards the longer he stays at that football club. Simple as that.
He has to go. Whatever happens this season, whether we stay up or whether we go down, he has to go.
Well, then.
I'm agree.
Well then, to be honest, we could win the next 8 games and he has to go. No matter what. And like I said, that he shouldn't be in the ground when fans are going there for his own sake. Because like I said there, it wouldn't be a pleasant experience for him to be involved in. Somebody that loves this club so much. It's his boyhood club, supports his club. That's bullshit that he keeps going on. Don't put yourself through it, Steve. Don't call in sick that day. Honestly, don't put yourself through it. I'm done, lads, unless you've got anything else to go through.
No. All done for me. All done. It was a little bit more rosier than normal, wasn't it? To be fair.
A little bit. Be the same next Monday. Might be a little bit different.
No. When's when's that game? Apologise.
Sunday at 12, I want to see.
Oh, this isn't it. Aye, Sunday 12 or 2 or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's 12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday.
12 o'clock.
There we go.
They were live for that, probably. Yeah, probably.
I'll be free. So if anybody wants to jump on a live, then we'll do it. Bestie, I've completely forgot about Bestie. Bestie's not here tonight.
You got the night off.
He might be back for Sunday though. We'll give him the night off because he's had a busy weekend. Yeah,
is there no way that we can watch it live together somewhere
in a garden?
Like, is there a way we could do that?
You'd have to watch it outside together.
I know that. That's what I'm saying, right? Right, let's try and work on that one. Let's try and work on that. It'd be funny, I think. Must be a way.
Just some sockets.
I've got all the sorts out of mine.
Yeah, some sockets.
Some sockets. A whack your telly in, whack your laptop in, stuff like that. We'll have a think about it.
We've got a week, right?
We'll put our brains together and see if we could possibly do it.
Do you not remember when you got out of bed this morning and there was this white stuff all over the place?
Well...
Outside, I mean, like, not in. I know what your parties are like, Decker.
Hey,
I meant outside, on your grass and on your car.
I was actually thinking of like wet dreams or something. You're turning into drugs there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was thinking,
no, he's talking about snow.
No, I know he is, but he I know that. But the way you said it, I was thinking of weird dreams and stuff when you wake up in the morning. That's what I thought.
So, wow. What a way to end it. Always, we managed to put a smile on everybody's faces together by talking about wet dreams.
We'll always be together in darkest wet dreams.
Oh, wow. Right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like the video. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks to the new members that have signed up tonight. We do appreciate it. This video's gone out earlier today. So Jack has done a video where he is doing a what is it? How can we describe this? Speed odd, it was described as. So you can literally see Jack designing a movie poster with a little bit of a NUFC kick to it. But yeah, it's great. Very therapeutic. For 3 minutes, it's just nice to sit back and enjoy that one. There's plenty more to come as well. We'll have extra time this week. Like I said, we might be in Decker's wet dreams to be doing a live watch along.
Well, speaking of Decker's wet dreams and Jack's poster, I did notice that Ayoze Perez had breasts on the poster.
Perez is on the poster?
Perez. Mickey Almiron. It's because there's a picture of Ayoze Perez on the Sky Sports website here. Mickey Almiron. Mickey Almiron has got breasts on the poster. Go and check it out.
No, right. Okay. Right. Thanks, everybody.
Perez is going to be in my wet dream. Is that what you're trying to say?
Him or Almiron, mate. God knows. But either way, they've both got breasts.
Mickey Almiron with breasts holding a couple of pistols. There you are. Right. That's what it was.
Thanks, everybody. Watch what you're doing. See you later.
Take care.